It's 7 minutes past 10 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Kara Lawrence, talking to you on this Thursday, February 27th. Are you ready for a getaway of some kind? I mention this because in this hour, we'll be talking about Destination Venezuela. And in fact, it's closer than you think. The Cultural Center of Vicksburg, I'm sure I haven't quite got the name of that right, but Vicksburg is offering a way to get away and also learn so much about the food, the poetry, the art, the music, and much more of Venezuela. And here in the studio, I am joined by Claudia Mendoza, Natalia Critchley, and the director of the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center, Brian Bearheide. Very nice to have all of you here.
Thank you very much.
Good morning
to you all. And in fact, stay tuned. We will be joined by musicians currently in the Boston area, but we'll give them a call and see what they can tell us about what they're bringing to this series. The series is a set of events between March 20th and March 28th, a whole lot of opportunity to learn about Venezuela. And Brian, let me start with you as director of the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. Welcome, and tell us a little about what the series is about and why Venezuela. How did this happen?
Sure. Thank you very much, Kara. So our destination series is kind of one of our pillar programs there. We thought it's maybe the best example that we can really incorporate arts and culture in a series of events. So we have done, we would pick a country and we would find out as many people in the area, be it Kalamazoo or semi-close, who are either from the area or have ties to it and can help us out. And we try to display all of that country's, as much culture and art as we can, whether it's food or visual art or performance. And then we want to present it to the people of Vicksburg, Kalamazoo, in the greater Kalamazoo area, as a chance to come learn about and see similarities and really just enjoy some culture from around the world. The way Venezuela happened was Natalia was actually doing a art exhibition with the Prairie Rond Artisan Residency in Vicksburg in 2018 called Through the Cracks, which featured a lot of Venezuelan art-based art. And John Kern, the head of that, kind of put us in touch with her. And our board president, Sid Bastos, got to talking with her and then Claudio as well. And it really just kind of ballooned from there. The network was amazing that we found. And we've been able to develop all these six events coming up, which we're really excited about.
You mentioned Natalia, who is here with us this morning. And it says here that you are an English-born visual artist who traveled to Venezuela looking for light at age 18. Light. And you went to live in Puerto Ordaz?
Yeah, well, I'd sort of decided that I couldn't really paint the way I wanted to in England, which is rather gray. I do appreciate the Michigan lights, which is quite sort of luminous. But yeah, so I've spent most of my adult life in Venezuela. I lived in the southeast in this industrial city, working in a cultural program there in the basic industries. And it was a really interesting time in the 80s. But so I've spent most of my life there, and my work is based very much in Venezuela. I still run a social art program back there, which we will be trying out here in the summer. And then we've been here for the last 4 years. My husband, Claudio Mendoza, is a research associate here in Weston.
Dr. Mendoza.
Yes, sorry, familiarity.
And wonderfully, you'll be one of the moderators or moderating a discussion about Venezuelan issues and politics during this series, which you can find online at the Cultural Arts Center website. What is that, Brian?
Sure. It's vicksburgculturalarts.com.
Okay.
I believe that's how it pops up. You know,
Google will help.
That'll get you close enough, or you can follow us on Facebook. It's there too.
You know, Brian, this is reminding me of reading Fahrenheit 451. And I'll explain in that Ray Bradbury classic, by the end of the book, the main character has joined a community that memorize great works of art and have become books, is sort of how he puts it. And so you're tapping into resources and people that you maybe didn't expect or know in the past that can bring so much information, experience, texture to a destination. I just think that's wonderful that you've tapped into that.
Thank you. We feel like the best imprint artistically or culturally that we can give is person to person. So we've been fortunate to have, just within the greater Kalamazoo area, these pockets that would be unknown before, but people will come out because they want to show the pride that they have in their ancestry or their direct lineage to these places. And, you know, it isn't the cultural aspect of it too. The sharing of the culture breeds familiarity, and then that can help, you know, break down certain boundaries that may have been, or preconceptions that may have been there before. Just to pitch part of what the food aspect is, I mean, everyone comes together around food, and
yes.
if I could, they're all wonderful events, but I keep saying it wrong, the Ayakas event, if you really just want to dip your toe in, that might be the one to come to, because it's a wonderful experience.
You'll find this online by looking for Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. The space itself is in downtown Vicksburg and is both a gallery and a gathering place. About how many people can attend these events?
Well, most of our events are capped probably in our main space, probably about 80 to 90, I would say. If you get close enough, we'll let you in anyways. But we do have a second space that the musicians will be speaking with later. That is more like 200. So if you go on the website and click through to the events, you can see the size limitations and even pre-buy tickets for some of the events.
So some of the events are ticketed. Oh, sorry, mm-hmm. Natalia.
No, sorry. I was just going to add that we're also taking the opportunity to activate several spaces in downtown Vicksburg, which are part of the renovation of the paper mill project. So I actually have a studio there at the moment, so that will be open for studio visits and another sort of little pop-up exhibition in another space that they have, just to sort of get the whole space kind of activated, I suppose.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly. Again, this is called Destination Venezuela, and it's a whole series of events touching on many aspects of Venezuelan culture. It begins on March 20th and mm-hmm. continues through March 28th. We're talking to you here at the end of February, so that you'll have a chance to make some plans and decide on some events. And stay tuned, because we're going to go through each of these offerings. They begin on March 20th with The Long Walk, and Natalia will be displaying some of your art.
Yes.
Other people's artwork as well?
Well, really, this came together with the idea of a small show for the Cultural Arts Center, and it's sort of grown from that, but given the time for organizing it, I'm using the spaces that I've been working in to showcase some of the work that I've been doing here, which is about Venezuela and also on the paper mill itself. So, and the exhibition at the Cultural Arts Center is actually about the exodus, and that was sort of prompted by all the investigation we were doing for this series, because we really sort of, when the journalists were invited and we started translating some of the articles that they'd been writing about this and looking at the pictures, that sort of prompted some new paintings, and so they're going to be still fresh, just out of the studio.
Venezuela is in a crisis right now, and you're addressing that in the series. And for people like me, typical American, I get a few headlines and then I get fuzzy about what has happened and what's going on. But your opportunity to really get some insight into what's happening now in Venezuela is on March 27th. It's called The Tragedy of the Venezuelan Crisis, and it's a panel discussion. Claudio Mendoza, you'll be moderating this. Who have you invited to help share context?
Well, we wanted to provide like an inside look, mainly by Venezuelans who were born there, grew up there, and somehow had to leave the country because of the situation now. So they're going to talk about that experience. They're mainly academics from different universities. There's a chemist who works at Arizona State University. Luis Núñez, who is also a physicist. He's in Colombia, in La Universidad Industrial de Santander in Bucaramanga. It's a little town near the Venezuelan border. That's the route where the exodus of people from Venezuela go through. And then there's another person, Tulio Hernandez. He's a journalist. And Maria Elba Núñez. So the people that have been writing about the situation in Venezuela for years, and they still do, and they will be converging here and just give that inside look, which will be a little bit different from what you sort of read in the papers and on TV. And the idea is just to perhaps bring the real tragic issues that are happening there. For instance, the malnutrition of infants, the exodus, which is, you know, perhaps the biggest exodus that's happening in South America, is bigger than the one in Syria. And also the problem of the prisoners, the political prisoners, tortures that have been happening there almost like in a kind of recurrent and insistent manner. And so that's the thing. And the most important one is the U.S. government is very involved in this. So we want to, you know, discuss what the present situation is, the American involvement, not only in the situation now, but in the future, once we get rid of the present dictator, what we were going to do, because the country's been totally destroyed, the institutions have gone, the people have left. So basically we have to, you know, kind of start from the bare bones.
I'm talking with Claudio Mendoza, Dr. Claudio Mendoza, as well as Natalia Critchley. And this is a series called Destination Venezuela. The political aspect of this will be discussed on March 27th with Mr. Mendoza, as well as a panel of very concerned and very knowledgeable experts. If you want to hear about what is being lost and what maybe Americans can do policy-wise to help. Brian.
So, again, we will have, I'm sure, available resources at the discussions, and the experts will be able to point you in many different you know, whether it's excerpts from what their writings or bigger portions of that at that. And then we will, as soon as we have those, we will make them available as well, sort of as a recap. But what I really think is great about bringing in this political aspect of it is that we're not just doing for lack of a better term, shock value and to be loud about it. It's that we're showing the entire trying to show the entire Venezuelan experience. So though this is a extremely difficult and concerning situation and a tragedy, it is a tragedy. And but we're showing you the whole gamut of the Venezuelan experience, the arts and culture. Well, tragedy is right now a part of it, but there is so much joy and so much history and passion in the rest of it as well. Mm.
As I said before, Destination Venezuela will feature food, drink, music, as well as art. And it's a chance to have a very well-rounded look at a specific culture and its many aspects. Speaking of music, it's about time to take a short break and hear a musician, or is it a duo, that's coming to the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. We're going to listen to a track, and then hopefully we'll get them on the phone and have them discuss their music. This is of great interest to me, of course. In the classical world, we have this famous Venezuelan music program that allowed kids of all backgrounds to get a music education, and it's something that has been modeled in Kalamazoo, even with a program called Kalamazoo Kids in Tune, inspired by the Venezuelan program El Sistema. So let us listen to this track. Who would like to introduce this music, El Pajarillo?
El Pajarillo is a very iconic piece of music in Venezuela, which is like a showcase to for somebody to, you know, to really be a wizard and show his or her talent, particularly with el cuatro, which is a very famous Venezuela instrument. I mean, there's also more Venezuelan than a cuatro. And there's some new talents that are using it to really showcase this brilliant, their brilliant play. And I think the guy that we selected, Carlos Capacho, he's a very good new talent. He's at Berklee School in Boston at the moment. And he's not only doing classical folk music of Venezuela, he's also spreading, and he does jazz and things. So we want to bring in Destination Venezuela El Cuatro and the American banjo, and we were going to put them together.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes. So we're interested in fusions.
Yes.
So we don't know how that is going to turn out, how they work, but they will get together and somehow work out, and they will present themselves. So that mixture is what we are at. So we have Carlos Capacho, and then from Detroit we have Gregory Mulkern, who is somebody who's developing a little bit how banjo playing is carried out in the States, besides, you know, a music from the Appalachian Mountains. Mm. He's a bit more urban and creating a sound of its own.
It's a combination of the cuatro, which is a traditional instrument of Venezuela, and the American banjo style. Gregory Mulkern on banjo and Carlos Capacho on the cuatro. And this track is Carlos.
That's right.
With Pajarillo. Well, forgive me. The track is not cooperating with me right now. What can happen in the meantime is maybe I'll take it back to Natalia, mm-hmm. and give Carlos a little ring and see if that will work, or actually talk to Gregory first. And if you can hold court for a little while, mm-hmm. and again, please go over for our listeners the dates, times, places of Destination Venezuela. Mm. And, you know, we're live here on the radio. I'm going to give Gregory a call in the background.
Okay. I wanted to kind of bring up another aspect, which Claudio has been very insistent on in designing this program, is kind of the fusion of Venezuelan culture, folk culture, and American folk culture. And as someone of English origin, in an Anglo-Saxon culture again, I've been kind of really interested in using that sort of dual nationality, since I've lived more time in Venezuela than I have in England, but to really reach out to the Latin American community, which is quite sizable here in Kalamazoo. I'm told it's at least 20,000. So it's all about creating those kind of links and connections.
But America in itself is a melting pot of cultures, and that's, I think, its actual strength. Mm. So what we try to do rather than show culture is just get involved in it, because they will be blending.
And look for the similarities as well as the differences. So, yeah.
Right, and then I think that that is that next step where instead of just saying, hey, come look at this, it's come be a part of this and be able to show your connection to this too, so it's not so just passive, so yeah. that people are active in learning about this, and at the same time being able to say, oh, that's like something I already believe in or that I already like. There's a similarity that I didn't know existed.
For instance, in the rum tasting, we have in three rums, two from Venezuela and one from the US. And so basically the Americans said, we can make as good rum as they do in Venezuela. So this is what something that will be also, you know, testing or trying to say.
Did someone say rum tasting?
Yes, there will be a rum tasting at the opening event, the grand opening, as it were, on the 19th. I have that right, on the 19th and 20th.
The 19th and the 20th. Oh, we'll have sort of a double.
Yeah, the 20th is the, March 20th is the opening, and there will be a rum tasting portion of it as well.
Let me take a moment now and introduce our two musicians who will appear on March 28th at the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. They are Gregory Mulkern and Carlos Capacho. Say hello again. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Oh, I can hear you. This is marvelous. Gregory, where are you right now?
I'm on 7 Mile in the Lodge inside Detroit.
In Detroit. Okay. Carlos, where are you?
Right now I'm in Boston, basically in the Berklee College of Music.
At the Berklee College of Music.
On the school.
Are you? Yeah. Do you have an instructor position there? Are you teaching?
Well, kind of, but right now I'm basically studying my master, and I'm going to end my master degree in May, this coming May. So basically in 3 months, I will be done.
You're getting an advanced degree. I understand that you play a traditional folk instrument of Venezuela. Would you talk about the cuatro?
Sure, yeah. That's basically, I will say, kind of like the family of the guitar for strings. Kind of like, I will say, tenor ukulele. It's bigger than the regular ukulele.
It's bigger than the ukulele.
Yeah, ukulele. And that's the instrument we normally play in all the houses, all the families in Venezuela, mostly. They will have in their own house one instrument of that and playing, singing, and mostly like what you guys also normally often you guys doing here with the ukulele. That's I will say the similitude between the ukulele and the cuatro.
Carlos, I'm interested in how rhythmic the cuatro can be. It is so exciting when you have a rhythmic pattern that you lay down. I think that's one of its great strengths, right?
Yeah. Well, everything is connecting through the nature, because as you know, this instrument grew up on the farmers and the mountains, and they kind of like similar, I would say, compared with the gallop of the horse.
The gallop
so
of the horse.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, but I believe or not, this is kind of like we have a meter, which is in 3/4, we call joropo. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the heartbeat also goes out or on. So basically, you can hear like 1, 2, 3. So basically, it's kind of, and that's the way we play the cuatro.
Is it also?
That's one of the rhythms. That's one of the rhythms we normally play, and often very, very famous, like probably you saw or share with all the audience, the pajarillo.
That's what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of how rhythmic the cuatro is.
Exactly.
Now, Is it also excellent at playing melody?
Yes. So I will say this instrument on the beginning, when I say beginning, this instrument is probably 500 years old, but mostly recently you can, I would say new generation since 1980s, 70s, they start to develop kind of like melodic using arpeggios and using pick. Mostly like what the guitar players do. And nowadays, since of that, an inclusion of Brazil music, jazz, and other styles, I guess, is getting rich. And that's one of my projects here, and even in Boston and Berklee, I'm being developing, I would say, a new way to rediscover this instrument. It's nothing new, because I would say the instrument has been here, but I guess the ways to approach the instrument is the way that sounds interesting. Nowadays, you can see the cuatro in context of jazz trio, but you can also see in world music, rock, and even in other styles. But yeah, traditional is basically main folk.
You said you're getting a master's degree at Berklee College of Music. Is that a jazz degree as a cuatro player?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's the first time, I will say in the history too, having a degree. I mean, I graduated in Berklee in 2016. I was doing a jazz performer and jazz composition.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they created a program not long ago, probably 7 years ago, since I graduated. And it was a program for jazz musicians. And I have the opportunity in this program to explore more deeply different sounds and different things through real master. And like I will mention, one of my masters is John Patitucci, Terry Lee in Carrington, mostly all the jazz players and heroes you always see on TV and Grammys Award. They are kind of like the artists right now who provide us like all the lessons and masterclass.
I'm speaking with Carlos Capacho, who is speaking to us from Boston, but will be joining us in Vicksburg for the series Destination Venezuela. This date that you'll want to put on your calendar is March 28th at the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. And Gregory, I know you've been listening to all of this, and I think you're taking a similar approach, a sort of a new music approach to your instrument, the banjo. Would you say that's the case?
Oh, it's absolutely the case. It's really exciting to be able to have this opportunity to play with Carlos, because we've both taken sort of iconic instruments of our countries and found a new way of discovering the instrument that allows us to play more of the music that's available outside of just folk music. So I'm doing that with the banjo. And even the styles, the banjo that I play are some of the older styles that are grouped under the category of old-time banjo music.
Do you have a fretless banjo? Just wondering.
I don't have a fretless banjo.
That would be awesome.
But yeah, I mean, the early versions of the banjo were... the banjo has changed a lot in the history of it being such an American instrument, but I don't play a fretless banjo. But
I didn't mean to make you feel like...
No, it's all right, it's all right. I'm trying to really expand what people commonly do with the instrument.
Now, so the two of you, have you met and played together before?
No, actually no, and I'm excited to play with him and with Greg, and basically he's also sent me a few days ago also his music, and kind of looking forward to perform with him. And that's one of the things music do often, and that one, as we always are speaking and in here, music connecting in so many ways we don't even know, and it's beautiful the way we can connect without even say any word. First we do music, and you can connect with anyone around the world.
It's an example of cultures meeting together, not having played together, but able to, through great listening and affinity, make some music in front of a crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really special. I don't think there are other opportunities to see this type of concert. This is going to be really unique and special.
Any other thoughts on coming to Michigan and coming to this town, Vicksburg, to share your music with a crowd? Any final?
Totally. I will say, well, first I will say this one, it will not happen for even if it's not my friend Claudio and all the, I will say all the crew and all the people involved in this project, Brian, and of course you also, Cara, for having the opportunity to speak to you and all the people who is being involved in this project. And I know how it's easy to say this is a project, but once you go deeply and see all the things, how that work is a component, and I'm really excited for this opportunity and looking forward to see you all.
And Greg?
Yeah, same here. I mean, everyone that I've worked with who are putting the event together has just been really fantastic, and there's such an excitement among everyone who's putting this together. And there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, too, you'll see. So it's just going to, it's not going to be, you know, it's exciting.
Before you go, Dr. Mendoza has something to say. He's been listening along here.
I just wanted to say that Greg has been to Vicksburg before. He was here last year, and it was a very difficult day because we had a blanket of ice. The university was closed, and the only person that was on the road driving with his car full of speakers and things was Greg, and he actually picked us up and took us to Vicksburg. So this is somebody that will get anywhere. No, nothing will stop him. So everything was no banks, no university.
It was a polar vortex.
Polar vortex. And it was Greg driving his car. And we got to Vicksburg and we visited the actual mill. They were interested in to see what they could do. He wanted to do a video or something there. So this is the guy we're meeting. And the same with Carlos. I saw him once in Caracas in a place, in a concert, and I was very impressed because it was the first time that I saw somebody who had pedals. So he was playing by himself in a solo concert. And then he would play a tune, and then he recorded in a pedal, and then he would put another one. So by the end of the tune, he was doing a sort of polyphonic concert there, just with a little cuatro. So I was very impressed by that. So, and Rick, I think Greg also does that sort of music development. Mm-hmm.
So expect
live looping.
Expect the unexpected on March 28th at the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center. Greg and Carlos, so nice of you to take the time to talk to us this morning live on WMUK. And
thanks so much.
Look forward to seeing you on March 28th, and I hope it's not the last time.
For sure. Looking forward.
Okay.
Thanks for introducing, and thanks for this space, a small space to share about what it's going to be.
It's great. It's great. I'm very excited to have you come to town next month. And right now, I'm still here live in the studio with Brian Berheide, as well as Natalia Critchley and Claudio Mendoza. And I'm going to come back to you, Brian, to help follow through with the music event and then reorient us to the whole week of events once again.
Sure. With the music event, it is a kind of our capstone. It's the climax of the series. Our hope is that you get to know Venezuela, and then you get to see that insight that of the turbulence or the turmoil that is going on there, so that you've met Venezuela. Now you feel for her. And then we celebrate with this meeting of America and Venezuela through music and through folk, folk culture. So, but kind of backing up, we are opening on the 20th with Natalia's exhibit and our rum tasting. That is a free event. However, if you wish to partake in the rum, that will be, I think it's a $10. Price for that.
Rum's not cheap.
But it's...
You will be getting a lot.
Yes. You'll be getting just the right amount. And then the 21st is the poetry reading. And not to diminish that by sounding like it's just a poetry, we're talking to an award-winning translator of poetry from London. And I think Claudio could speak a little bit about...
Yes, when we started organizing this event, Sid, who is one of the promoters and directors of the Art Center, she insisted on literature, which is difficult because you have the sort of Spanish-English differences. So how do you, a reading event or a poetry event? And we decided we know this person who's a translator, and he translates poetry from Spanish, French, German into English, paying attention to rhyme and to meter. And we will do an iconic Venezuelan poem in the same way that we do an iconic instrument, which is called Florentino and the Devil. It's a contest, it's a singing contest between a very good singer of coplas, you know, and the devil, who is challenging him. So if the devil wins, he will take him to hell, and if Florentino wins, he will say, I beat the devil. So he will, the translator, who is called Timothy Addis, he will be in London, and I will be in Vicksburg. I will be Florentino, and he will be the devil. So we'll be doing this across the Atlantic on the network poetry contest. And going through the verses in English, and he's done an amazing job trying to get this kind of joropo that Carlo talked about in English. And we'll be doing that contest, and people will know how Florentino beat the devil. I mean, there's a catch to it that will be developed in the actual reading. And apart from that, we're having a poet who is she's called Sara Lupita Olivares. She's a PhD student of Western of poetry, and she's just been given an award and publishing her book. And she will be doing the local. We want to also bring out the local poets. And by this event, suddenly we realize that there are strong undercurrents of poetry in Kalamazoo and the Vicksburg area. Suddenly poets begin to sprout everywhere. So she'll be doing that reading. The interesting thing about her is that she comes from a Mexican family. She's third generation American, and although she's from a Mexican origin, her poetry is in English. And she was born in Vicksburg. So that's an amazing coincidence that we found.
This is reminding me how we started this conversation. You just don't know.
We didn't know that. I was born in Vicksburg. My grandfather worked at the mill, and her father worked at Pfizer. So that gives you an idea, you know, what people do here. So again, this is a blend of culture. Somebody from a Latin origin, somehow she's now American, and she is doing American poetry. Mm. And there will also be like an open mic with another person here. She's called Morgan Elizabeth, local poet. She's from Ann Arbor, and she will be directing and selecting all the readings of American poetry.
If you just tuned in, you're hearing from Claudio Mendoza, as well as artist Natalia Critchley, and the director of the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center, Brian Bearheide. And we're looking at a whole week of events called Destination Venezuela. This is not the first time that the center has staged such an in-depth look at a country's culture, but here it's Venezuela, partly because of the amazing untapped knowledge and talent that exists, surprisingly. So, Brian, again, this starts on the 20th and continues through the 28th, and details are posted online at the Cultural Arts Web Center. Mm-hmm.
VicksburgArts.com.
Let's take a short musical break. I think this will work wonderfully. We have an example of Carlos Capacho's playing. He is the cuatro player that we talked to from Boston just a few minutes ago.
Thank you.
is a cuatro performed by an amazing virtuoso named Carlos Capacho, who will be in Vicksburg to appear on Destination Venezuela on March 28th. And my guest here, Claudio Mendoza, was saying that that particular kind of piece is a let me show you what I can do kind of piece. And I agree, there was so much flash and development and excitement and personality in that piece.
These new kids, the way they play the cuatro, instead of picking it, a little bit like you pick a guitar or a banjo, they play the actual tunes like strumming chords. So that's a new way of that they're playing. This is particularly new since, I would say, the 1980s. Before that, the cuatro was mainly just an instrument for accompanying singers or harps or whatever, but they're making it into a solo instrument. And this way of playing tunes rather than picking the strings, strumming and actually keeping the melody, that's a new style. And he's a very good exponent of that.
As we heard, he's also creating a new style just simply by earning a degree in jazz at the Berklee College of Music in Boston on his cuatro. I mean, that doesn't happen every day. I'm going to take us on a round of final thoughts for Destination Venezuela and make sure we've covered all of the events and make sure listeners know where to find the information. And then we'll finish up with one of Gregory Mulkern's tracks, the electric banjoist. So, actually, let me start with you, Brian. And you're the, of course, director of the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center that is bringing Destination Venezuela to West Michigan.
Sure. Once again, if you go to the website, vicksburgarts.com, you can click through to see a more in-depth description of our 6 events that are open to the public, the majority of which are free. The concert is a ticketed event. The only other charge we have is for the Ayakas. The important food event. And then also if you want to partake in the rum tasting. Otherwise, all events are completely free and open to the public. We have, like I said, the opening, grand opening is on the 20th with Natalia's exhibition and the rum tasting, followed by the next Saturday night is the poetry event. And then Sunday will be the Ayakas. And then you have all week to recover from your from the Ayakas. And then we'll finish with the panel discussion Friday, and then the culmination event, the concert on Saturday.
Final thoughts from you, Natalia.
Well, I would just like to say that the sort of the opportunity that I've had as an artist in Vicksburg, both with the Paper Mill Project and with the Cultural Arts Center, for me has just been kind of the perfect meeting of artists and renovation and development projects, and sort of showing what a sort of renovated cultural life can look like for a sort of a small town that maybe had become quite sleepy, but is, you know, coming back to life with all these projects. And I think it's fascinating and great to be a part of it, even in a tiny little way.
What do you have to say at the end of this hour, Claudio?
I want to say that I'm Venezuelan, and I'm part of the exodus, the people that had to leave their own country to live somewhere else. I'm very grateful to find a place here in Kalamazoo, to Western Michigan, and to America itself, and particularly Vicksburg for all the attention and the warmth that we have received. We are in a way sort of Venezuela. We are scattered in the four corners of the planet, walking aimlessly, and having this attention from the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center has been particularly very comforting for us to somehow, you know, keep our spirits up, and we are very grateful for that.
Listeners, you have time to plan to attend these events. They take place next month, starting on March 19th, 20th, and you'll find all the details at the Vicksburg Cultural Arts Center's website. And it has been a illuminating morning here on Classical WMUK with Claudia Mendoza, Natalia Critchley, and Brian Bearheide. Thank you very much for coming in to talk about Destination Venezuela.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Here's some music from Gregory Mulkern, the electro-banjoist, who will be joining Mr. Carlos Capacho on March 28th.
Algunos buscan dinero, algunos la felicidad, mientras otros solo buscan para vivir la capacidad. No confíes en las mentiras que dicen quién eres. Recuerda lo que sabes de un tiempo más antes.